inches away from the outstretched hands.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Pop in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. This season marks the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 Giants and their win in Super Bowl 42. Now, the season didn't start out all that great for the Giants, having dropped their first two games of the season in Dallas and at home against the Green Bay Packers. But this team was resilient, and in this show, we're going to look back at the great moments from that season, starting in week three in Washington. After a rocky start, losing their first two games of the 2007 season, the Giants headed to Washington, desperately needing a win against their division rivals. Clinging to a seven-point lead late in the game, with the Redskins threatening to score, the Giants' defense would be put to the ultimate test, a goal line stand.
I know it's only 3 weeks into the season, but our backs were against the wall.
And this is a divisional foe, and you can't take another step back. We knew going in we had to win.
Fourth and goal at the one. Redskins need a touchdown to tie.
Do your assignment. Everybody lock in. I remember just everybody just saying, just do your job, right? That's a TC type quote, right? Do your job. And that play came down to that simple.
Takes the snap. Handoff left for Fenton. And he's stripped up and stopped short. Giants stopped him on fourth and goal. And they're going to win the ball game.
The Giants may have saved their season with a stirring victory against their NFC East rivals, the Washington Redskins.
That play, I think, just set the tone for what the rest of the season is going to be like.
The very next week, OCU Manure and Michael Strahan would be part of a historic night against the Eagles.
Steps up under pressure, and he's sacked by Michael Strahan. And there's the record, the New York Giants record, 133.5. And he does it with Lawrence Taylor in the house.
The thing I'm most proud of is breaking LT's Giant single season sack record. That right there was the crowning moment of my career in Philadelphia, to do it in Philadelphia, because he's the greatest defensive player to ever play.
The torch would continue to pass as the night went on, as one of Strahan's proteges set the Giants' single game sack record.
McNabb takes the snap, drops back under pressure, sack! McNabb flushed out to his right, gets dragged down by OCU Manure. Gets sacked by Umanura!
New team record by Umanura.
Sack number six for OC.
I've had games where I got to the quarterback more times than that, but they just weren't sacks. And this particular game, every single time I got to the quarterback, it was a sack. It was absolutely amazing.
I'm not worthy.
Despite reeling off six straight victories, the Giants still needed a win at Buffalo in Week 16 to ensure a playoff berth. And in the fourth quarter, a rookie would put his stamp on the season.
You know, we came through the huddle, and I even told all the boys, I said, I'm scoring this if y'all block it right.
He comes in, you block this one up, I'm taking it to the house. You talk about the confidence of a young player coming into a game in a moment like that, wanting the football.
They called a power play, and, you know, my favorite play is a power. I just remember, just go, you know, just telling myself to just go.
Hand off Bradshaw, up the middle, finds a crease, up to the 20, 25, 30, it's a foot race.
When he broke through that line, and you saw this little guy coming out bow-legged, and he had a head full of steam, missing part of his NY emblem on his helmet. And it's like he's running 100 miles per hour, everybody else is in slow motion.
Bradshaw to the 40, to midfield, no one's gonna get the rookie Adam Marshall.
That was probably one of the coolest run plays, seeing him just pulling away from everybody as he ran up the sideline.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Ahmad Bradshaw. 88 yards for the rookie.
And he said, that's it. We're going to the playoffs. That's it. That's the game clincher right there. We're good.
And that's when I literally looked and said, the boy is now a man.
You know, and that was kind of the legend of Bradshaw was born.
And the rookie may have run the Giants into the postseason.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 championship season. Greatest Moments, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 championship season. Greatest Moments, presented by New York Presbyterian.
Congratulations, Jonas. 10 wins in here. That's a great job, man. Terrific job.
To rest or not to rest, that is the quandary facing Tom Coughlin's Giants. With nothing to be gained in the playoff standings, do they sit their starters or do they go for the big win against the Patriots and the momentum that that would provide going into the playoffs?
They're very talented. I think definitely Strahan should take the weekend off. I'd rest them. I know that. Coughlin, if you're listening, definitely rest those guys.
TC walked in the room, I expected for him to only say one thing, that we're all in, that we're going to play. That's just how he approached things. It's business. This is week 17, and we got a job to do. It just happens to be a really big game, right, for a team that's doing something very historic. But they had our place.
Oh, the Giants are in the playoffs. They ain't got nothing to play for. Rest their guys so they don't get hurt. They're in the playoffs, too.
When did they come out here?
Why ain't they got sitting on the bench? But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to win the playoffs.
We didn't want them to go 16-0, and we wanted to inflict some harm on the pretty boy. They wasn't used to this type of athleticism, this type of speed, a front four that you could just throw at them in waves. I don't think they had seen that before.
Back to pass goes Brady. Feels some pressure, and he's going to get sacked back at the 39-yard line.
I wanted him to understand that we weren't no pushover. If we ever see you again, you already know what's going to happen. And I gave him the look. He gave me the look back, and that was it.
After beating the Buccaneers in the NFC wildcard game in Tampa, the stage was set for the highly anticipated third meeting between Big Blue and Big D.
You sense the arrogance from the Cowboys throughout the season, right? They beat us twice, and hats off to them. We didn't handle our business.
If the sting of losing to Dallas twice in the regular season wasn't bad enough, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones would provide some extra motivation for Coach Coughlin and his Giants.
Jerry puts two tickets to the NFC Championship game on each player's stool in their locker room the night before the game. If Dallas wins, the NFC Championship game is in Dallas.
The whole Jerry Jones and the ticket thing, you're guaranteeing that this game, that we don't even have to go out there and play. That had me pissed off, to be honest.
It was like a slap in the face, like they didn't respect us at all.
That definitely fired us up. That was like, now they're disrespecting us. They beat us twice, and now they're disrespecting us. Nah, we're gonna take it to them.
Manning back to throw. Swings one left. Wide open Schumer at the Cowboy 40.
I remember I came out of my break. I caught the ball, and I was on balance. So I figured, let me see if I can make some people miss. And I remember dipping my shoulder for some reason, and then I just remember getting ahead of steam up and heading down the sideline.
Sheds a tackle down the left sideline. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Amani Toomer. 52 yards for the franchise's all-time leading receiver. When you need a big play, he's the guy that does it.
I think that really set the tone for the game. So I think that was like the first kind of jab to kind of say, hey, we're here to play today. Even though you beat us twice this season, we're ready to come.
In a back-and-forth battle, the divisional playoff would be decided on the game's final drive.
Giants trying to pull off the upset. Here come the Cowboys again. Yep. High drama in Big D. Here we go, 4th and 11 at the Giants 23. 16 seconds to go. Romo takes the snap.
So they snap the ball. Terry Grant sort of runs vertical. He gives me a stem outside, and he bends back. I said, ah. Oh. And the minute I turned around, the ball was there.
Back to throw, has time to the end zone, intercepted by the Giants. Intercepted by the Giants in the end zone.
When R-Dub put those hands up, I knew it was money.
R.W. McCorders.
Where'd it go? R.W., what a play.
The ball was right there, so it was like bam, bam, and I just curled it up and fell down. I'm like, yeah, we're not losing this one.
To win that game on an R.W. McCorders interception in the end zone at the end of it, I've never seen 80,000 people silent, like you couldn't hear anything. And it was by far the greatest feeling of my life. I'm happy about whipping the Cowboys in Dallas. Finish them. Get out of here, Cowboy fans. Go home.
Go home. Go home. And the New York Giants have knocked off the number one seed in the NFC, and they win the ball game 21-17.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 championship season. Greatest Moments, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 championship season. Greatest Moments, presented by New York Presbyterian.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field, minus 1 degree with a wind chill of minus 23.
When that wind and that cold air hit you, you knew it was real. It was different. I'm not going to lie, I've never in my life felt anything like that.
I went out in the ball cap because I always do. The years were going to fall off pregame. Pregame. I'm out there and I'm going, this is a mistake.
My cousin was in the stands. He was telling me he put down his beer for maybe 5 seconds, man. It was frozen. You know, that's how cold it was.
On the Giants' very first offensive play from scrimmage, Brandon Jacobs would deliver a crushing shot to the Packers' Charles Woodson.
First and 10 from the Giants' 18.
When he hit him, I felt bad. You know, I always was a Woodson fan. But when Bree Jacob hits anybody, it's like a man against a boy, you know.
Brandon Jacobs ran the defender over.
To me, that's the biggest play of our entire playoff run. Because that truly identifies and lets you know who we were that year. When it came down to it, we're going to hit you in the goddamn mouth. And for us, I felt that was the, if not a knockout blow, one of the most stunning blows that we gave any team out the gate.
Charles Woodson, I don't know how many more times he's going to want to have to try to do that. I mean, you're talking about a 265-pounder running downhill.
Jacobs' run ignited the Giants' offense, and despite the sub-zero conditions, Eli Manning and Plaxico Burress would put on a clinic, connecting all night long.
Manning from the gun, back to throw, dips one left, Burress has it on the run at the 40, and knocked down at the 47-yard line as he beat Al Harris on the slant.
He was regarded as probably the best corner in the NFL at that time. Al Harris basically said, you know, I'm going to shut down Plaxico Burress, and I'm going to guard him one-on-one. When he comes to Green Bay, he knows what he's going to get. So I took it personal.
Looks right, throws right, looking for Burress, who makes the catch over the defender at the 35-yard line. He went hand-to-hand with Al Harris, and he beat him.
You know, Plaxico on Al Harris, he was automatic. He was winning that one-on-one matchup, and we must have, if he had he had 11 catches, I'd say 8 of them were on that same route. He was just throwing kind of old-school hitch routes.
Manning takes back to throw. He wings it over the right side, and he's got Burress again! He turned around Al Harris.
It's minus 24 degrees wind chill, and this guy is gripping it and throwing it. And this kid's catching it. Plaxico catches 11 balls.
They look like they were in the backyard, slinging it around.
We just put on one of those shows that it'll be talked about for a long time.
The Packers still led the Giants by 1 point late in the first half and were threatening to add a touchdown to widen their lead when Big Blue's middle linebacker stepped up to save the day.
Right before the two-minute warning, they're driving. You know, they got a little momentum.
So it's 3rd and 8 from the 19-yard line.
I knew it was an opportunity for us to just not give up a touchdown.
Favre out of the shotgun, barks out signals, takes the snap and drops back. Screen set up left.
Recognized the screen, I'm like, oh man, we're in trouble. And I remember seeing the lineman already kind of having a couple steps on me, and I'm like, I just got to shoot it. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make the play, but if I don't shoot it, it's an easy touchdown.
Completion, and then it's stood up by Antonio Pierce, who makes the play at the 19-yard line with a blocker on his back.
You talk about a great play by Antonio Pierce.
Nobody really talks about that, but that was one of the best plays I think I saw in the whole playoffs that year.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
And look what he's got out in front of him. I mean, there's three blockers, and yet he's able to go through them.
It should have been a touchdown. It should have been that type of play that breaks our back, and yet it was the type of play that broke their back. And again, it's Antonio Pierce. I wasn't too surprised.
Pierce's key stop kept the score close, and the Giants would eventually tie things up in the second half. But after Lawrence Tynes missed two opportunities to win the game in the fourth quarter, the kicker would get a shot at redemption in overtime.
We had missed two field goals, you know, right at the end of regulation. Now we're overtime, it's a 47-yarder. I'm like this. I'm watching him. I don't say a word. He throws the cape off, runs out on the field. I yell, field goal.
I promise you this, no one's more confident than me when I kick.
All right, here goes Tynes again. from 47 yards to kick the Giants to the Super Bowl. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good.
Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl.
To go to Lambeau Field in that type of epic setting, to win a game on the road against one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, that was so special.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 championship season. Greatest Moments, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 championship season. Greatest Moments, presented by New York Presbyterian.
February the 3rd, 2008, at stake the Vince Lombardi Trophy. The New York Football Giants and the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42.
I mean, no one believed that we were going to go in there and win that football game. No one was giving us a shot, and we liked it like that.
Everybody talk about a dynasty. Our dynasty starts today.
Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo's strategy was to rush the Patriots quarterback nonstop, and the Giants' defense would execute the game plan to near perfection.
They'd never seen a defensive line like we had, and they're not going to be able to stop us. And if we're able to get the Tom Brady and do the things that we're capable of, we're going to beat this team.
Brady back to throw. Steps up. Back again. Back at the 15-yard line.
Brady took another hit. He is getting mad.
The hits, the sacks, the pressures, the disguises. We were doing that bad boy like an orchestra. Guys, we were rocking and rolling. You never heard him get after his linemen like he did in the Super Bowl. The things he was saying, you're like, we're getting to him.
I just remember being on the sideline watching Strahan and Tuck and OC go to work, and it was like an avalanche, and they couldn't stop it. And Tuck, I mean, he became Justin Tuck.
Brady back, has time, steps up, gets hit, fumbles. Back, fumbles the football, it's loose on the ground, they scramble for it. Giant ball at midfield.
Despite their dominance on defense, the Giants still trailed the Patriots by 4 points late in the fourth quarter, and the offense would need to mount a game-winning drive. What unfolded next was nothing short of miraculous.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw, under pressure, avoids the rush, and he's going to fight out of it, still fights out of it, now throws it deep downfield. Tyree makes the catch. What a play by Manning. What a catch by Tyree.
I'm running a post route over the top, so by the time I break out my post, he's under duress.
They got a hold of me, but I'm kind of in a little panic. I think this isn't good, but they just never pulled me down. Fought out of it, I rolled right, kind of saw Tyree, I saw one other guy, ended up being Rodney Harris there, but I just figured, you know, I got to give this a shot.
As soon as he let go of the ball, I was like, what is he doing? And I'm like, no, don't throw it.
He fires the ball down the middle of the field, which normally you do not do that.
No, not the middle of the field.
From there, it was like chariots of fire. You know, music going on in the background, and you're just locked in on that ball. And, you know, for me, all I remember is, you know, going up to high point it.
It is caught by Tyree.
Catches it, ball off his helmet, head. You couldn't tell what he did with it. And I'm just thinking to myself, are they saying he caught that?
I really didn't know anything about the helmet. I just remember getting my second hand back on that ball. All I know is I got it, and I'm not letting this thing go. It's a moment in time that's literally like frozen. I just call it a miraculous play that I'm the fortunate recipient of.
When he caught the ball, game was over.
I think that's when we really thought we're going to win this game, because there's no way we're going to make that play irrelevant.
First and 10 at the 13, 39 seconds to go. Giants down by four.
They called a play, and Eli grabs right before I break the huddle. He says, hey, man, they get single, I'm throwing it. So I run out, and I get to the line, and I see the coverage. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. The ball's coming.
Manning calling signals, takes the snap, looks left, lobs it left.
You know, he lets it go. I make a move on Ellis Hart. And I just run clean by him. And I see the ball up, and I turned 360 degrees, and it was like.
First is wide open, touchdown Giants, in the left corner of the end zone.
You know, that ball just seemed to hang up there in the end zone forever. I was like, things gotta come down, hurry up and get down, and sure enough it did.
feeling just went out of me. I couldn't believe that it just happened. I couldn't believe it.
And that is it. The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots 17-14, and the Giants, with the most improbable win in recent memory, have won Super Bowl 42.
You're running around, you know, seeing all your teammates and Strahan and, you know, hugging everybody, and then, about to go on the podium, and you're kind of away from all the chaos for a second, and you just take a moment to realize what just occurred, you know, that we won a Super Bowl. It kind of all sinks in at one moment, what you just accomplished and how special it is.
It's a team that captured all of New York City and the nation as they upset the Patriots. And when you look back at these road warriors, there were so many defining moments, so many great moments. What's your favorite? I'm sure all the Giants fans out there have a list that can go on and on. But we hope you enjoyed this look back at great moments from that 2007 season. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.